ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ, ಹರೆ ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ, ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ, ಹರೆ ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ,
ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundar. Radha Shyam Sundara De Jai Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Narsingha Dev, Narsingha Dev, Narsingha Dev, Jaya Narsingha Dev. Jai Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribol 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivraja Kacharya Shtotra Sata His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanar, Avinda Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय, श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय, श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय, श्री नरसिंह देव भगवान की जय, भक्तराज प्रहलाद महाराज की जय, श्री नरसिंह चतुर्दशी महामहोत्सव की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. So today being the appearance day of Lord Narsingadev, we will chant the Dashavatara Stotra of Sri Jayadev Goswami. So can some devotees please distribute at the back also. You may have to share one sheet amongst two. We may not have enough for everyone. Hare Krishna. Pralaya payodhi jale dhritavana sivedam vihitavahetra charitramakhedam. Keshavadrita Meena Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Kshitiriha vipulatare tishthati tava preshthe dharani dharana kina chakra garishthe. Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Vasati dashana shikhare dharani tava lagna shashini kalanka kalevani magna.
केशवधृता शुकर रूपा जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। तव कर कमल भरे नखमद्भुत श्रृंगम दलित हिरण्यकशिपुतनु भृंगम केशवधृता नरहरि रूप जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। छलयसि विक्रमणे बलिमद्भुत वामन पदनख नीरजनित जन पावन केशवधृता वामन रूप जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। क्षत्रिय रुधिरमये जगदपगत पापम स्नपयसि पयसि शमित भवतापम केशवधृता भृगुपति रूप जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। वितरसि दिक्षुरणे दिक्पति कमनीयम् दशमुख मौलि बलिं रमणीयम् केशवधृत राम शरीर जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। वह शिव पुष्य विशद वसनम जलदाभम हलहति भीति मिलित यमुनाभम। केशवधृत हलधर रूप जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। निंदसि यज्ञ विधेर अहह श्रुति जातम सदय हृदय दर्शित पशु घातम। केशवधृत बुद्ध शरीर जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। म्लेच्छ निवहन धने कलयसि करवालम धूमकेतुमिव किमपि करालम। केशवधृत कल्कि शरीर जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। जय देव कवेरिदमुदितमुदारम श्रीणु सुखदं शुभदं भवसारम।
केशवधृता दशविधरूपा जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। तव कर कमल वरे नखमद्भुत श्रृंगम दलित हिरण्यकशिपूतनुभृंगम केशवधृत नरहरि रूप जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। जय नरसिंह देव, जय नरसिंह देव, नरसिंह देव, जय नरसिंह देव। जय नर हरि, जय नर हरि, नर हरि, जय नर हरि। श्री नृसिंहदेव भगवान की जय। श्री प्रहलाद महाराज की जय। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहम श्री गुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत् कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरुं दीनतारिणं। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। सो इन दी मोस्ट स्वीट लैंड ऑफ वृंदावन वेयर द स्वीटेस्ट पास टाइम्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड टेक प्लेस, व्हाई आर वी डिस्कसिंग the glories of the most fierce aspect of the Lord, Lord Narsingadev. And if Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, And if Krishna is, of Vrindavan is the sweetest and original form of Godhead, why do we call out to Narsingadev every day in the morning? This is a question. The answer is, of course, that Lord Narsingadev is not different from Krishna. Ramadi Murti Shukalanya Mena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. So the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Govinda, manifests himself in many, many different forms. These are his expansions. Many of them descend into the material world and they are called avatars. Avatar means he who descends. Avatarati iti avataraha. So those who come down from the spiritual world into the material world for some specific transcendental purposes, like attracting the minds of the devotees and the conditioned souls as well, fulfilling some inner desires, like for example, engaging in the mood or the mellow of chivalry to fight. Lord Narsingadev wanted to taste this particular mellow. And for other purposes like protecting his devotees, spreading dharma, and so on and so forth. There could be many reasons why the Lord comes here. All these different avatars of the Lord, and indeed all the different forms of the Lord, have specific purposes. One reason is that different devotees like to worship the Lord in different moods. And therefore, the Lord kindly accepts different forms in keeping with the different moods of the devotees. There was one devotee I knew who was like a kshatriya, real kshatriya. And his worshipable deity was Narsingadev. He was always fiery, fired up for everything. And for him, there was Narsingadev. Of course, he recognized Krishna as all in all, but for him, Narsingadev had a very special place. And every day he would chant the Narsingha mantra. And whenever the Narsingha stotra was chanted, then he would get energy. So different people have different moods of worship, and all of them are complete and perfect in their own way. And the Lord is complete and perfect also. He can fulfill everybody's desires. In this world, we cannot be everything to everybody. Although everybody wants us to be everything to everybody, but we cannot do it. But Krishna can do it. So he appears in these different forms to facilitate the desires that his devotees have to worship him in different ways and in different moods. Also, because the Supreme Lord himself is a transcendental person, he also has different moods himself. He likes to enjoy different transcendental mellows. Sometimes he likes to fight also. Just like we like to fight, our desire to fight comes from the Supreme Lord's desire to fight. Although sometimes perhaps we tend to take more of this than the other qualities of the Lord. We fight more than we should be. But nevertheless, it's all coming from Krishna, who is the original reservoir of all qualities. So depending on the different moods that Krishna is in and the different mellows that he wishes to relish, he takes on different moods also. Another reason for the Lord's accepting different forms is that he takes on a form in accordance with the purpose that he has to fulfill when he comes here. For example, when he came here to save Satyavrat Muni, when the whole world was flooded, there was no land visible, there was only water and water everywhere, the Lord had to take the form of a fish. So he assumed the Matsya avatar. When the churning of the hill was going on in the ocean of milk between the demons and the demigods, there was someone needed to support the mountain. And therefore the Lord accepted the form of a tortoise, Kurma Avatar, who supported the mountain, the gigantic mountain, on his gigantic back. Similarly, when the earth had to be lifted out from the nether regions, the Lord assumed the form of a boar or Varaha. Similarly, when the devotee of the Lord had to be protected, when anger had to be exhibited against those who were persecuting the devotees, then the Lord assumed the form of Narasimhadev. We use the word assumed in the past tense only in the sense that this particular leela happened here in this material world many, many years ago. But actually we should be using the present tense, because Lord Narasimhadev is forever existing. Not only does Lord Krishna forever exist as he is Krishna in Vrindavan, but all his numerous forms, his expansions, including Lord Narasimha, Lord Matsya, Lord Kurma, Lord Varaha, and so on, they also exist eternally. It is very clearly stated in the different scriptures that all these different forms of the Lord eternally exist in their eternal abodes in the eternal spiritual world. And from time to time, they descend into this world to perform various pastimes and then return to the spiritual world. Of course, in almost all the avatars of the Lord does save his devotees. He does deliver by killing the miscreants, and he does also establish the principles of religion. But nevertheless, the incarnation of Lord Narasimhadev is especially meant for the sake of protection of the devotees and exhibiting anger against the miscreants. So therefore you see that Narasimhadev is often seen in his mood of anger when he is roaring loudly. Sometimes when some non-devotees or people who don't understand the mood of devotion see the Ugra form of Narasimha. Ugra means ferocious. When they see the ferocious, angry form of Narasimha framed and kept in a devotee's home, they say, you know, don't keep this picture here because your house will be burned down by anger. Or they see Krishna and Arjuna in the battlefield on the chariot. They say, you know, this is not a good picture to have in your house. You should have something sober, because this is a very Ugra, a very fierce aspect in battle or in anger. But for the devotee, he has nothing to fear. In fact, it's all auspicious to have the Lord at home in whatever form. Even when the demigods were terrified to approach Lord Narasimhadev after he had killed Hiranyakashipu and the Lord's anger had not subsided, and he was sitting on the throne continuing to roar, at that time the demigods were afraid to come. Even Lakshmi Devi, when requested by Brahma, said, no, no, I cannot go before him. I have not married this person. They all petitioned Prahlad, and Prahlad went forward fearlessly. He had no problems going ahead. He had no anxiety. And as soon as the Lord saw Prahlad, his anger subsided. And very kindly he looked upon Prahlad and placed his lotus hands on Prahlad's head. So Prahlad and devotees like Prahlad never have fear, even of the ferocious forms of the Supreme Lord. Because actually the fierce forms are meant for the miscreants, not for the devotees. And therefore, as such, the devotees only see the lovable Supreme Lord, their protector here. In fact, it has been said, Ugra Pranugra Evayam Svabhakta Nam Rikeshari Keshariva Svapota Nam Anyesham Ugra Vikramaha. Keshari means a lion. So, the Supreme Lord is Narasimhadev, is Nrikeshari. Nri means a human being, Keshari means a lion. So, the lion is generally considered to be the personification of the mode of passion. Anger comes from passion. So if there's any animal that really shows anger, it's the lion. Majestic. When the lion is roaring, it's a photographer's delight, right? You see the lion with the mouth open and the head raised and roaring. And then anybody would like to capture that. So this is the personification in the material world of anger and passion. So therefore the Lord has taken the form of a lion, because a lion is meant to be angry. So it's ugra. Ugra means fierce. So generally speaking, the lion is very fierce. Ugraha api. But although the lion is generally fierce, anugra eva api evayam svabhakta nam rikeshari. But to svabhakta nam, or to his own devotees, the Supreme Lord took the form of Nrikeshari and was very, very anugra, not at all fierce. Just as Keshari vasvapotanam anyesham ugra vikramaha. Just like the lioness is very fierce to everyone else, anyesham. But to her own cub, the lioness is full of affection and love. There is no exhibition of ferocity or anger when the lioness is dealing with her cub. She is fierce only to everyone else. In the same way, the Supreme Lord, when he has come in the form of anger, of ferocity, but he is only fierce to Hiranyakashipu and to anybody else who is not a devotee. Even those who are not unalloyed devotees, completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord, will still feel a little afraid. But those devotees like Prahlad, who are utterly surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, they have no such fear. In fact, those very lotus feet represent complete freedom from fear. So this is the purpose of Lord Narsingha's advent. He comes here to show anger, to personify anger, and to protect the devotees. The next question may be raised, can't Krishna protect? Isn't Krishna the original Supreme Personality of Godhead? So why do we need to go to Narsingha Dev? When people take shelter of the demigods, we advise them on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings that don't go to the demigods, go to the Supreme Lord. Because whatever you want from the demigods will in any way be obtained from the Supreme Lord. The power that the demigods have to grant whatever benedictions you ask for is also coming from the Supreme Lord. So therefore you must approach the Supreme Lord himself. It's best to approach the Supreme Lord only for devotion, not for any material purpose. But nevertheless, even if you do have any material motives, don't go to the demigods, go to the Supreme Lord. So in the same way, we may say, well, if you want protection, why do you go to any other form of the Lord? Go to the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Why should you go to Narsingha Dev? What is the answer? The answer is that although Krishna in Vrindavan, of course, is the original Supreme Lord, and he also protected all the residents of Braj when the demons attacked here. But it's interesting that, as Prabhupada explains in his purports in the 10th canto and in the Krishna book as well, that Krishna of Vrindavan, his business is not protecting. His only business is enjoying. So therefore Krishna in Vrindavan is busy playing on the flute. He is busy grazing the cows. He is busy playing games with the cowherd boys in the forest. He is busy with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, being pampered by them, being fed by them, performing Rasa Leela with the gopis. This is the business of Krishna in Vrindavan. Why should one approach and disturb Krishna when he is performing his pastimes? Even when the residents of Vrindavan, the Brajabasis, were troubled severely by demons coming in time to time, practically every day the demons would come in here. Whenever Krishna killed the demons, Prabhupada explains, that it is the Vishnu aspect of Krishna who killed the demons, not the Krishna of Vrindavan. Because all the expansions and incarnations of the Supreme Lord, they always reside in the Krishna of Vrindavan. Because Krishna of Vrindavan is the origin of all these forms. Ete chamsakalaha punsaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam bridayanti yuge yuge. So Krishna of Vrindavan is swayam bhagavan. As Vrindavan is swayam dham, there are many dhams, and of them Vrindavan is the most important dham. It is swayam dham because it is the holy abode of swayam bhagavan, the original bhagavan Krishna. So Lord Narasingha, Lord Matsya, Lord Varaha, Lord Narayan, all of them reside in Krishna. And when Krishna comes here, these forms are also residing within him. And when the opportunity presents itself for some kind of protection or killing and so on, then those particular aspects, so those expansions of the Lord, they actually do the activity. Therefore we see that when Krishna killed Putana by sucking the life air out of her, he still appeared like a small baby playing on her body. It was Vishnu who did the act of killing, and Krishna was just doing the act of playing like a child. So therefore, coming to the question of why we should not only pray to Krishna, why do we pray to Narasingadev at all? The answer is that Narasingadev is Krishna's form for the sake of offering protection to the devotees. Of course, when we offer prayers to Krishna Balaram and to Radha Shyam Sundar, please offer protection, of course they do. But Lord Narasingadev is a specific form accepted by the Lord especially for protection. It's not that Narasingadev is a different person, although he exhibits a different form, but Lord Narasingadev is also Krishna. It's just that he has assumed this form of ferocity and anger for the sake of protection. So there is no contradiction if one accepts the shelter of Lord Narasingadev in times of difficulty. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, at one particular point in time, when in the early days of the movement, when there were a lot of dangers to the movement, he introduced the idea of, or he introduced the practice of chanting Lord Narasingha's prayers every morning. This was not done right in the beginning when Prabhupada established ISKCON in America. It only started a few years later. And then because of all these troubles, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to daily pray to Lord Narasingadev and beg for his protection. So Lord Narasingha also exists in the spiritual world eternally. He also exists here in Janaloka, I believe. And he's one of the important aspects of the incarnations of the Lord. In the book called Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami, it is explained that of all the avatars, Krishna, Ram and Narasingha, these three are the most important because they are called the Paravastha forms of the Lord. Paravastha means those forms that are in the supreme position. Paravastha, supreme position. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are unique because of their unlimited sweetness, and therefore they are incomparable. Narasingadev, Lord Ram and Krishna all have the six qualities in fullness. The other aspects of the Lord, the avatars also have, but especially these three. Lord Narasingha exhibits these qualities in abundance. Lord Ram has more sweetness in his pastimes than Lord Narasingha. But Lord Krishna has unlimited sweetness. So among all the aspects or expansions of the Lord, or the forms of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami has especially pointed out Krishna, Ram and Narasingha as being the Paravastha forms of the Lord. So these three forms are especially relevant for the devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is elaborate description of Lord Narasingha and his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Today being his appearance day, we will read from chapter 8 of the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. Hiranyakashipu was much aggrieved and angry at what he perceived as a rebellious attitude of his son. Here was Hiranyakashipu, the most powerful demon in the whole universe. In fact, he had dominion over everything and everyone. Except Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, practically everyone had to offer their respects to Hiranyakashipu. He was so powerful that he made all the demigods unemployed. You see, according to the universal administration of the Lord, different departments of universal administration were given to different demigods. These are pious living entities who are qualified for some service that is very, very significant. So Krishna wants to engage his devotees in service, so he has to give everybody seva, and people are of different natures. So according to the natures of different people, he awards them different services. So the demigods are those devotees who have some affinity for opulence and power. They like a little bit of that. And so Krishna engages them in his service by giving them the positions of demigods. So therefore Indra is in charge of the rains, and Varuna is in charge of the oceans, Vayu in charge of the wind, and so on and so forth. But when Hiranyakashipu became powerful by dint of his austerities and the boons that he received from Lord Brahma, he became extremely aggressive and powerful, and he drove away the demigods from their respective abodes and from their positions and even from their offices. What to speak of the offices, even the residences. So the demigods had no place to stay in because Hiranyakashipu occupied their homes and their office. So the demigods were wandering here and there, greatly aggrieved. And Hiranyakashipu alone did the function of all the demigods. So he was like the king who dismissed all the ministers and took over all the departments. The home ministry, finance ministry, agriculture ministry, whatever ministries there are, all were controlled by Hiranyakashipu. And out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, even Mother Earth started giving crops without being plowed. Cows started giving milk without being milked. Everything was going on. The planets were moving in the right orbits at the right time out of fear. So fear does play an important principle in this material world. But then, fear personified is afraid of the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord is so powerful. In the Shastras it is said that fear personified, death personified runs after everybody, but death personified runs in fear of Krishna. Everyone is performing their duties out of fear of Krishna. So eventually the Supreme Lord was to descend to teach Hiranyakashipu what fear was, because Hiranyakashipu had become fearless by the mercy of Lord Brahma. And because of that power, he had become very arrogant. And when one offends great personalities, however powerful and qualified one may be, one will eventually lose all one's qualifications and power. One is doomed to destruction if one offends great personalities. So when the demigods had gone to the Supreme Lord begging for protection, that Hiranyakashipu has become like a fever of meningitis, as Prabhupada translates. He has become a fever of meningitis in the head of the universe. So please come and protect us And the Lord's reply was, do not fear. I will come in good time, very soon. When this demon Hiranyakashipu begins to harass and terrorize his own dear son Prahlad, who is such a great devotee of mine, at that time I will descend. In other words, the Lord waits for a while. The Lord doesn't just immediately come in and destroy the demons. He lets them build up or dig their own grave, so to speak. He gives them enough rope to hang themselves. He lets them commit enough offenses that they collapse under the burden of their own offenses. Just like Krishna let Shishupal go on and on with his blasphemy till a point. And when the blasphemy reached that level, then Krishna let loose his Sudarshan Chakra. So in the same way, the Lord was waiting for Hiranyakashipu to begin his atrocities against Prahlad. And then when that happened, then he came to protect his devotee. If he hadn't waited, if Hiranyakashipu had been killed right in the beginning, nothing would have come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There would not have been much here. We would not have heard the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. And for today, since it's 9 o'clock, and usually we end the class here, but today is Lord Narasingha's appearance day. It's fasting. There's no prasadam. So rather than spend time for other things, we may continue the class for a longer period today. Since in any case, we should hear more about the Lord on the auspicious day of his appearance. So the Lord agreed to come at the right time. Hiranyakashipu, meanwhile, tried to understand from his son what he had learnt in the school. And each time he asked him, he would speak something about Lord Vishnu, whom Hiranyakashipu considered to be his arch enemy. In the beginning, Hiranyakashipu was amused. He said, oh, this little boy, his intelligence has been corrupted by somebody. So teachers, take care of him. Make sure it doesn't happen again. But the next time it happened also. And he chastised Shanda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj. And Shanda and Amarka pleaded innocence. And they said, my dear king, it's not our fault. We have never taught him such things. And he is just, we don't know how these things have spontaneously come into his mind. None of the other students have been taught all these things. But there's some mysterious cause for his having such a tendency. Hiranyakashipu, meanwhile, got very angry. And he said that Prahlad was like the tail of a curved tail of a dog that can never be rectified. It can never be made straight. So Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad was crooked. But the fact is that it was Hiranyakashipu who was crooked. A crooked person sees everyone else as being crooked. So Prahlad was actually the most straight, the most decent person in the entire universe, because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. Ultimately, when Hiranyakashipu was unsuccessful, despite many, many attempts to kill Prahlad, it was Hiranyakashipu who now began to get fearful. And he started thinking that this boy of mine is really something very mysterious. He seems to be invincible. He seems to have so much power. Where is he getting his power from to resist all the tortures that I'm subjecting him to? How is he able to protect himself from my power? So I think it is not Prahlad, but it is I who am destined to die. And from that time, Hiranyakashipu started actually getting fearful. So you see, however powerful we may be, there's always somebody who may be more powerful than us. And especially for Grihastas, this is an important message. Because whatever we may be in life, you know, our children will always teach us humility. Whatever we may be elsewhere, but in the house, then they will really make us bow down. I had gone to one householder devotee's house, many years ago, I remember. And he was always complaining about how his son was not listening to him. And he used to ask me to preach to the son. So he had put up a poster, and the saying was, let me see if I remember. Yeah, it's something like this, that by the time you realize that our parents were right, we have children who think we are wrong. So he had kept this for the benefit of his son. And he would get very agitated, because it's very difficult to accept somebody you've given birth to. He's supposed to listen to you, and he doesn't listen to you. And he talks back to you. He does something completely contrary to what you want. In fact, everything you cherish in life, he does the opposite. Just imagine, all your affections are in this one person. You think he's yours, and you should do what he should do what you want, and he doesn't do it. Very painful. And especially it pricks the ego tremendously. And Hiranyakashipu had a lot of that. He had a huge ego. And when the ego was nourished and fed, because he could control even the demigods, he chastised Prahlad that even by the movement of my eyebrows, the planetary rulers and the planets themselves tremble. And you, the 5-year-old boy, and my son, and you are rebelling against me? Where do you get your power to do this? So Hiranyakashipu became increasingly frustrated and fearful. But just see the example of Hiranyakashipu. So however powerful we may be in this world, there's always someone more powerful than us, even if it is a small child. So therefore, it is always in our best interest to surrender to the supreme power. Because Prahlad was getting energy from that supreme power. So when Prahlad continued to infect, quote and unquote, the other children, the children of the demons, that's when alarm bells went ringing everywhere. And the teachers came running to Hiranyakashipu that your son is spoiled, but he's also spoiling all the other son, or the children of the demoniac families. So this is terrible. So from Hiranyakashipu's point of view, from the demoniac point of view, Prahlad was corrupting, contaminating, polluting the whole kingdom. A person who stands on his head sees everybody else upside down. But the fact is that he himself is upside down. So a person whose mind is polluted sees everyone else as being polluted. Atmavan manyate jagat. And when somebody does something good, then we see the opposite. So at that time, when Hiranyakashipu understood, he called upon Prahlad. Shukadev Goswami explains here that Hiranyakashipu, being very cruel by nature, was hissing like a snake that has just been trampled upon. And Prahlad, his son, who had been summoned, was standing very peacefully, gently, in front of Hiranyakashipu, with folded arms, with folded hands. And even though Hiranyakashipu was rebuking him very severely, in very harsh words, Prahlad remained untouched. He remained gentle and submissive. And then Hiranyakashipu began to abuse his own son. He durvinita mandatman kulabheda karadhama stabdam machasanodritpam neshyetvadya yamakshayam. He durvinita. Vinit means to be very humble. And durvinit means the opposite, to be impudent, arrogant. So although Prahlad was really very humble in every respect, it was Hiranyakashipu who was durvinit, but he was calling Prahlad as He Durvinit, O impudent one, Mandatman, O stupid fool, Kulabhedakara, O you who have destroyed and divided my dynasty, my family, Adhama, O lowest of mankind, Stabdham, O most obstinate one, Mat Shasana, Udvrittam, one who is going astray from my ruling, Neshye Tvadya Yamakshayam. So today I am going to send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining an interesting observation here. He says that Goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning, has very mercifully taken the words of Hiranyakashipu and presented them with a different meaning at the lotus feet of the Lord. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is interpreting these words of abuse in a positive way as words of praise. Just like when Krishna encouraged the residents of Vrindavan to worship Govardhan instead of worshipping Indra, at that time Indra became extremely outraged. And he spoke, Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agyam Panditamaninam Krishnam Martimupashritya Gopame Priya Chakram Apriya. He said, look at these gopas, look at these cowherd men. They have acted very unfavorably towards me just on the speaking of one little boy. Vachalam, this boy is very talkative, over talkative, he talks too much. Balisham, he's just a child, he's just a kid. Vachalam Balisham Stabdham, and he's impudent and arrogant. Agyam, he's ignorant. Pandita Maninam, he thinks himself to be very learned. Martyam, he's just an ordinary mortal of the earthly planet, and I am the king of the heavens. And these people, these gopas, they have taken shelter of this little boy, Krishna. So I'll teach them a lesson. So similarly there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how Mother Saraswati took the words of Indra with a different meaning and presented those words at the lotus feet of Krishna as words of glorification. When Krishna, or rather when Indra spoke Vachalam, that he's very talkative, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Mother Saraswati, presents it as being one who talks very sweetly. He's talking the essence of everything. Balisham, Indra meant it to be that Krishna is very childish, but Mother Saraswati said, no, this actually he's childlike. He's very innocent, free from pretension. Stabdham, Indra meant it to be impudent. But Goddess Saraswati says, actually he doesn't bow down before anybody because there's nobody worthy of him to bow down to because he's supreme. Agyam, Indra meant it to be that he doesn't know anything. He's ignorant. But Goddess Saraswati presents it as being he who knows everything. There's nothing left for him to know. Pandita Maninam, Indra intended that to mean that he thinks himself to be a pandit or a learned person. So it was meant in a derogatory sense. But Mother Saraswati said, Pandita Maninam means all the panditas, all the learned persons accept him as the most learned person. In this way, Mother Saraswati, she presented the derogatory words of Indra in a very positive light. So here also, Hiranyakashipu's abusive words have been interpreted by Goddess Saraswati in a way that it appears to glorify Prahlad rather than actually curse him. So Durvinita, Prabhupada explains here in this purport, that Duhu refers to the material world, Vi means Vishesh, and Nita means brought in. So Prahlad Maharaj has been brought in into the material world, especially by the Lord, to teach the people how to get out of material conditioning. That is the meaning of Durvinit, as far as Prahlad is concerned. Manda Atman, Manda means one who is very slow, very lazy, etc. So Manda Atman means that Prahlad is the guide of all those who are spiritually lazy. Prahlad Maharaj has come here to deliver and guide everyone. In this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has wonderfully explained all these different abusive words of Hiranyakashipu in a positive way so as to be a glorification of Prahlad Maharaj. And in this way, Hiranyakashipu went on speaking and told Prahlad, by whose power have you become so impudent as to overstep even my power? Me, the most powerful person in the universe, and you dare to overstep my authority? And Prahlad Maharaj replied, my dear father, the source of your strength and the source of the strength of all living beings in the universe is also the source of my strength. The Supreme Lord Sri Hari is the source of everyone's strength. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna says, Balam Balavatam Chaham. I am the strength of the strong. Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. I am the prowess of the powerful. Buddhir Buddhipatam Asmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So Prahlad is making the same point that the origin of all strength is Lord Vishnu. And he is the one who is controlling everything. My dear father, so please give up your demoniac mentality. Please don't consider Vishnu to be your enemy. He is your well-wisher. Know that the only enemy in the world is one's uncontrolled mind. It's a very significant statement and a teaching for all of us. That the only enemy in life, really speaking, is our own uncontrolled mind. And Prahlad goes on to mercifully instruct his father not to be so foolish. And he says, there were many fools like you in the past who met with destruction. Prahlad is speaking very sweetly, but he speaks philosophy, not in a way to denigrate his father, but out of compassion for his father. So Hiranyakashipu, as usual, became outraged that this little boy was trying to instruct him. And Prahlad quotes from the, Prabhupada quotes from the Hitopadesha, Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya na shantaye. That when a murkhanam, when foolish people are instructed, prakopaya, they become angry, na shantanam, they don't become shant or peaceful or favorable. They in fact become more angry. So Prahlad instructed Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu became extremely angry. And he says that time has come now. You are speaking like a person who is about to die. And therefore, let me see your Lord come and protect you. Let us see how he will protect you from my anger. As Prahlad was standing in front of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu was speaking like this in such a harsh way, he noticed that Prahlad was looking intently at a pillar that was in front. Now generally, when we speak to each other, we look at each other, isn't it? If I'm talking to you and you're looking at a pillar, it's a little strange, isn't it? So when Hiranyakashipu was talking to Prahlad, he was expecting Prahlad to look at him. And in any case, when a respectable superior personality like a father speaks to one, one should look. So Prahlad, however, was looking at a pillar. So that irritated Hiranyakashipu even more. So then he looked at the pillar and he said, let us see your God, let us see your Supreme Lord Vishnu coming here to save you. Where is he? Is he in this pillar? Because he saw Prahlad looking at the pillar. Now, the Supreme Lord Narsingadev had already appeared in the pillar. He was there. Hiranyakashipu couldn't see him. Prahlad could see him. So when Prahlad was seeing the pillar, he was actually seeing the Lord within the pillar. No one else was able to see him. So with eyes of devotion, Prahlad with folded hands was looking at Lord Narsingadev there in the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu was wondering why this boy is looking at a pillar instead of looking at me. And then he said, let us see, is your Lord in this pillar? Because you're looking at this pillar, is he here? So Prahlad, with supreme confidence, supreme faith, he said, yes, of course he is in this pillar. Because Prahlad was seeing him to use the cliche, with his own eyes. Yes, of course, he's in the pillar. He's everywhere. Because the Lord is everywhere, he's also in the pillar. And then, Hiranyakashipu, in great anger, he went up to the pillar and beat it with his fist. Now, he was very, very powerful. His body was like a thunderbolt. By the mercy of Lord Brahma, the benediction he had received from Brahma made his body not only very beautiful and shining and effulgent of a golden color, but it was also strong like a thunderbolt. So when he smashed the pillar, then the pillar cracked. Now the sound that came out of the pillar was so terrible, was so fearful. It sent shivers down the spines of all the demigods in the higher planets and even Brahma. And everybody started thinking, now we are doomed. All our planets are destroyed. The whole universe is going to be destroyed. Nobody could understand what was going on, where the sound came from. Even Brahma was perturbed. And finally, all the demigods came hastily by the Akashpath or the skyways, and they hid behind the clouds trying to see what was going on. And at that time, a wonderful thing happened, and that is described in this verse here. This is verse 17 of chapter 8 of Canto 7. This tumultuous sound had never been heard before. And as Hiranyakashipu looked here and there, trying to figure out the source of that sound, he saw something that was very, very extraordinary, which he had never, ever seen in his whole life. Something unseen in the whole world. And that is described here by Narad Muni or Shukadev Goswami.
Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Vyaptim cha bhute shakhile shuchatmanaha. Adrishyatatyad bhutarupa mudvahan. Stambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusham.
Please chant, anybody?
Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhileshu chatmanah. Adrishyatatyat bhutarupa mudvahan. Stambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusham.
Matajis, anyone? Okay, so Srila Prabhupada's word for word translation: Satyam, true; Vidhatum, to prove; Nijabhritya Bhashitam, the words of his own servant, Prahlad Maharaj, who had said that his Lord is present everywhere; Vyaptim, the pervasion; Cha, and Bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements; Akhileshu, all; Cha, also; Atmanaha, of himself; Adrishyata, was seen; Ati, very; Adbhuta, wonderful; Rupam, form; Udvahan, taking; Stambhe, in the pillar; Sabhayam, within the assembly; Na, not; Mrigam, an animal; Na, nor; Manusham, a human being. Srila Prabhupada's translation. to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Narsingade Bhagavan ki jai. So at this time, when the Lord appeared like this, Hiranyakashipu was looking all around here and there to find the source of that sound. And when he looked at this wonderful form, he was thinking to himself, who is this creature? Neither an animal nor a human? Who is this? So he did not understand that this was Vishnu himself. At most, he could have thought that this is a creation of Vishnu. That Vishnu, by his mystic power, has created some form that was never seen before. Half lion and half man. And Hiranyakashipu began to wonder. He studied the form for a while from a distance. What is this? Because he is my enemy. He has come here with a hostile attitude. So Hiranyakashipu was trying to figure out his enemy, to try to understand how he could attack him. And the translation of how Lord Narsingha appeared to Hiranyakashipu, I'll read. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Narsingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like the caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. And then the fighting began. The Lord wanted to taste Veer Ras, the mellow of chivalry. So now a time had come. The Lord was facing some opponent who had been empowered by the Lord himself, but who was somewhat powerful. Even the most powerful demons in existence can have the power that is very, very insignificant in compared to the power of the Lord. So Lord Narsingadev easily captured Hiranyakashipu along with his club, just as Garuda captures a snake. And when Garuda captures a snake, sometimes he may play with the snake for some time, and then he finally gobbles it up. So similarly, the Lord was playing around with him, and then just for his own entertainment, and to increase the anxiety of the demigods so that that would increase their affection for him, for the Lord, he let go of Hiranyakashipu, just as Garuda sometimes lets go of the snake. The demigods who were hiding behind the clouds, they became alarmed. Because the reason they were hiding behind is that they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. And when the Lord caught hold of Hiranyakashipu, they came out, they revealed themselves. And now that Hiranyakashipu released himself from the grasp of the Lord, they were fearful that what happens if Hiranyakashipu emerges victorious, that he will take revenge on us. And what happens if the Lord is unsuccessful? Of course, they were thinking like this out of their own fear and out of their affection also for the Lord. So in any case, this went on, the battle went on for some time. Hiranyakashipu took rest for a while and again began attacking the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport here. He says that we should not misunderstand, as Hiranyakashipu did, that he released himself from the grasp of the Lord by his own power. No. The Lord deliberately released him out of play. It was Hiranyakashipu's foolishness that he thought himself powerful enough to have released himself from the Lord's grasp. And then Prabhupada gives an analogy here, that when a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world, as if he were not under the clutches of nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished. But sometimes he is given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu when he was released from the hands of Narasimhadeva. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Narasimhadeva. But just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. So similarly, sinful people who seem to be enjoying, it's only a matter of time. The Lord, through his time energy, time is also compared in the Srimad Bhagavatam to a serpent, Kala Sarpa. And we are all in the mouth of the serpent. The head has gone in, then the shoulders, then the stomach, and then the legs. So as we grow older, we are going within the mouth of the serpent of time. So the serpent of time is devouring everybody. It may seem that some of these sinful people have been released from the clutches of material nature. Despite performing so many sinful activities, they seem to be enjoying life. But Prabhupada says here, it's just a little play of material nature. And very soon, they'll be gobbled up by the snake of time. Material nature will exact justice. So in this way, the battle continued. Another example that Narad Muni gives here is that of a snake and a mouse. Sometimes a snake catches hold of a mouse, lets it go, again catches, again lets it go, and finally gobbles it up. So in the same way, Narasimhadeva was playing with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was fighting with all his might, using all his mystic powers, sometimes appearing, sometimes disappearing, and flying from one corner to another corner. But Hiranyakashipu was just like a tiny wasp. And then the Supreme Lord finally said, all right, it's enough now. I've had enough fun. Now let me finish off this little irritant, this little fly who is disturbing me, this mosquito who is trying to irritate me. So he just picked up Hiranyakashipu and placed him on his lap and pressed him down. And Bhagavatam explains that Hiranyakashipu was wildly flailing his hands and legs about, fiercely resisting the clutches of the Lord. But the Lord was effortlessly just pressing him down there. And he kept him there. And then right at the time when it was twilight, because the Lord was waiting for the right time, he carried Hiranyakashipu in his arms, first of all. What a great fortune. to be carried by the Lord's arms. And he carried him to the doorstep, and he sat down there, kept him on his lap, and with the edges of his nails, very easily tore apart the body of Hiranyakashipu. Took his intestines, garlanded himself with the intestine of the garlands. When Hiranyakashipu had asked for some boons from Brahma, first of all, he had begged for immortality. And Brahma has said, Baba, even I am not immortal, how can I give you immortality? So then he tried to figure out a backdoor entry to immortality, some kind of a loophole. This is the tendency of people. Whenever any country makes laws, there are always people, the first thing they do is go to the lawyer trying to find out the loophole, how you can get around it. So Hiranyakashipu was a materialistic person like that, always trying to look for loopholes. We shouldn't also try to look for loopholes in our devotional service. In the month in Chaturmas, when we're supposed to avoid milk, and some people say, well, if you mix a little something, then it's not exactly milk, so you can take it. It's always trying to find some loopholes. It's not just the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law that must also be followed. So similarly, it's not just following certain rules of devotional service, but we must follow with the spirit. So in any case, so Hiranyakashipu said to the Lord, to Brahma, that okay, please make sure that no living entity or a dead person can kill me. Then neither should I be killed in the night nor in the day, neither inside the house nor outside the house, neither in the day nor at night, nor with any weapon. Neither a human nor an animal should kill me. In this way, Hiranyakashipu asked so many things, thought he was covering all his options. So he thought being supreme, he thought he was very intelligent and he could ask for immortality in this way. And then Brahmaji was obliged. He said, all right. But the Supreme Lord is supremely intelligent. Who can be more intelligent than him? So the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, keeping all the benedictions of Brahma intact. So he waited for the twilight in the evening, which is neither day nor night. He sat in the doorway at the steps, which is neither inside nor outside the house. He had assumed the form of a half lion and a half human, which is neither animal nor human. He kept him on his lap, which is neither the ground nor the sky. And he killed him with his nails, which is neither dead nor living, nor is it a weapon. And in this, keeping the benedictions of Brahma intact, he killed Hiranyakashipu effortlessly. Later, of course, when he had been pacified by Prahlad, and then after that Brahma got the courage to offer some prayers, then the Lord told Brahma, my dear Brahma, now I warn you, please do not give such benedictions to demons again, because this is like feeding milk to a serpent. A serpent's venom, poison, increases when you feed milk. And then the serpent may bite you, bite the person who feeds it. So therefore, granting benediction to such demoniac people is very dangerous, my dear Brahma. So please be cautious in the future. There are numerous instances like this. We see also in the case of Bhasmasur. Bhasmasur asked the benediction from Shiva that whosoever head he touches should burst to pieces. What kind of a benediction to ask for, right? That's the nature of the demoniac people. And Shiva granted it because he's very merciful. And the first thing that Bhasmasur did was he approached Shiva with his upraised hand. So he was the forefather of Hitler. He was going up like that. So in any case, this is the nature. So the Lord was very cautious and he said, Brahma, you must also be very cautious. Don't give benedictions like this. And thus, when all the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu attacked the Supreme Lord, the Lord simply with his claws, with his nails, he just decimated the whole army, destroyed everyone, delivered everyone. Finally, he was so angry and he was getting worked up more and more. The more he attacked, the more he was getting worked up. This is the nature of the Kshatriya mood. In the battlefield, we hear in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata and Ramayana that it is the habit of Kshatriyas to taunt each other on the battlefield. The idea is that by such taunting, you will invoke anger in the other person and then you can fight ferociously. Because to fight, you need to be angry, you see. You can't fight when you're smiling and happy. So the mood of fighting involves anger. It involves taunting. And the more this goes on, the more the battle goes on, the more furious the warrior becomes. So the Lord is playing something like a Kshatriya role now. He's getting more and more furious as time is passing. As more the soldiers are attacking, he's getting more and more angry and killing them. Left and right. Finally, when all of them were killed, he was looking around for who else is there to kill. The demigods made sure they were at a distance. And then, having seen no adversary in front of him, and nobody was there to invite him to sit on the throne, so he helped himself. He went and sat on the throne, but his anger had not subsided. He continued to roar and roar loudly. It was then that finally Brahma had to send Prahlad. Immediately, the Lord's anger subsided. This is the trick. The demigods are very intelligent. So they put Prahlad in the front. The Lord's anger subsided. From Ugra Narasingha, he became Shanta Narasingha. And he blessed the Lord. There are many different forms of Lord Narasingha. In South India, there are many different temples and different deities embodying these different aspects of Lord Narasingha. Especially there is a Nava Narasingha. So the Lord became peaceful. Prahlad offered his prayers. Hiranyakashipu, I beg your pardon, Lord Narasingadev offered benedictions to Prahlad. But Prahlad was not tempted by these allurements. He said, "My dear Lord, I am not a merchant who has come to you for some business deal, that I want something material in return for the devotional service I have rendered you. I only want that there should be no material desires in my heart. And yes, by the way, since you are pressing me for benedictions, please deliver my father." Hiranyakashipu said, "Already done. Done thing, dear Prahlad, don't worry. 21 forefathers of yours have been delivered just because of you. And in this way, you should now become the king and rule this material world, this universe, for a long time till the end of the life of this Manu, for this Manvantara. And then you will come back home to me, back to Godhead. This I bless you. And in the duration of your stay here in this material world, always remember me. And this will protect you from the infection of material existence. I bless you that you will never get deviated from this path." And after he had instructed all the demigods, the Lord departed for his own abode. At that time, Brahma, along with Shukracharya and others also, they anointed Prahlad Maharaj as the king. And then Prahlad Maharaj became the king for many, many years. He ruled in a very, very Krishna conscious way, setting an example for how one should live in this material world. So on this day of the appearance of Lord Narasingha, we can pray at the lotus feet of the Lord that he may protect our devotional service. He is Bhakti Vigna Vinashak Narasingha Dev. Physical protection is one thing, all right, but one day this body anyway is going to get destroyed. So the main protection we should seek from Narasingha Dev is the protection of our devotion, of our bhakti. So we can pray to him that he may kindly bless us like he blessed Prahlad to be eternally situated at his loving lotus feet. Shri Narasingha Dev Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Narasingha Chaturdashi Mahamahotsav ki jai. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Please remember to come for the Abhishek this evening at 5:30. Hare Krishna.